Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud. We are holding on the very bottom of Daf Tes Amud Beis. We are at Ki Asal the Kameh Rabbi Yochanan. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously by proud Talmidim of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan in honor of the upcoming Yeshiva dinner. And they will be sponsoring every day until the dinner in Yitzchak Elchanan with more details to come. And it's also sponsored by Theodora and Mordechai Kramer for a Refuah Shleima to Chaim Menachem Mendel Ben Nechama. We wish her a Refuah Shleima, and we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to discuss on Daf Yud is we're going to spend a lot of time identifying different nations of the world that are identified in particular psukim, and we're going to try to figure out which nations are being referred to in these psukim. And in that context, the Gemara is going to discuss how either Rome will fall to Persia or Persia will fall to Rome. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the Chiv Mezuzah on the Lishchas Parhedrin, and we're going to compare that to the Chiv Mezuzah in a Sukkah. And the Gemara is going to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Lishchas Parhedrin, where the Kohen Gadol was sequestered, only needs a Mezuzah because of a Gzeira, that if it doesn't require a Mezuzah, people will say, it's like a jail. Just like a jail doesn't require a Mezuzah, so too the Lishchas Parhedrin doesn't require a Mezuzah. So that's why Midrabanan maybe requires a Mezuzah. Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis. This is a short Amud Beis. He's going to talk about how Sukkos throughout the year is pater from Mezuzah, but on Sukkos, it's a machlokas. Maybe on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, one requires a Mezuzah in the Sukkah. So Bez Hashem will discuss that on Yud Amud Beis. So let's begin at the bottom of the page on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Ki Asa L'Kameh D'Rabbi Yochanan. So in the middle of the story where Reish Lakish or somebody else, we had two versions of the story, was going by the riverbank, and he needed to be supported by somebody who was from Bavel, and he said, you're from Bavel, I can't stand these Babylonians. It's their fault that there was a lack of Ashras HaShechina in the second base of Mikdash, because no one came back. So few Jews came back after Golus Bavel. So so he had a bad taste in his mouth from the Babylonians. So Kiyasal came to Rabbi Yochanan, when Reish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan, and he told him this whole Maisa, and how he darshan the Pasuk. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said, Lavayna Taima, that's not why there wasn't Ashras Ashchina in Bayis Sheni. Inami Sliku Kulu, even if everyone would have gone B'Yimei Ezra, Lo Avashar Yashchina B'Mikdash Sheni, still there would not have been Ashras Ashchina in Mikdash Sheni. Why not? D'chsiv, because the Pasuk says, when Noach is Mevarich his children, it says, Yafta Lukim Liefes V'Yishkon Ba'ohal Eishen. So we darshan, Afal Gav, Yafta Lukim Liefes, Ein Ashchina Shora, Ela Ba'ohal Eishen. That even though Yafta Lukim Liefes, even though Yefes, who built the second base of Mikdash, built such a beautiful building, but the Shechin is only Shara Ba'al Eshem. Shlomo HaMelech built the first base of Mikdash, so that comes from Ahal Eshem. That's where you're going to have, he's from the Zera of Shem, that's where you're going to have a Hashras HaShechina, but you're not going to have Hashras HaShechina in a Mikdash that's built by Yefes. And that's the reason. It has nothing to do with how many people came back after Golus Bavel. How do I know the Parsiim are the children of Yefes? Uparsoim minolan de Yefes ka'asu. Where do I see that Parsiim come from Yefes? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Bereishis Perek Yud, when it talks about the offspring of Yefes, it says, B'nei Yefes are Gomer, Umagog, Umadai, V'yavan, V'tuval, Umeshech, V'tiras. So we're going to explain which nations are each of these children of Yefes. Gomer ze Germania. Some have a girsa Germania, that it's Germany. Magog zu Kandia. Madai zu Makedonia. Yavan kimashmo, that's Yavan. Tuval ze Besu Nike. Meshech zu Musia. Tiras, and what's Tiras? Pligi v'Rabbi Simai v'Rabbanan, Rami l'Rabbi Simon v'Rabbanan. It's a machlokas between someone with the Samach and a Mem in their name and the Rabbanan. Chadamar zu Beis Traiki, v'chadamar zu Paras. One says that it's Beis Traiki, and the other one says that it's Paras. So Tani Rav Yosef, Tiras zu Paras, and Rav Yosef taught that Tiras is Paras. So how do I know the Parsiim are B'nai Yefes? Because it lists off the B'nai Yefes in the Pasuk, and it lists Tiras as the last of the Bnei Yefes, and we have a tradition that Tiras is Paras. So now that's how I know the Parsim are the Bnei Yefes. So Yafta Lekim Yefes, yes, they built a Beis HaMikdash, but that Beis HaMikdash was never destined to have a sense of Ashras HaShchina like the first Beis HaMikdash, which was built by Shlomo HaMelech. So now the Gemara, once the Gemara explains the pasuk that speaks about the Bnei Yefes, we're going to discuss the locations of other children of Noach that are mentioned in the same Parsha. So when it talks about the offspring of Cush, who is the son of Ham, so it says Safta v'Rama v'Saftacha. So Tanya Rav Yosef, Safta and Saftacha have very similar names. So it must be that they're in a similar area to each other. So Sakistan Gavyasa v'Sakistan Baryasa. It must be that we're talking about the same basic neighborhood, but the inner villages versus the outer villages. So Bein Chada L'Chada, and the distance between one and the other is Mea Parsis, 100 Parsos. That's why they have such similar names to each other, because they're in the same vicinity. It's just one is in the inner villages, one is the outer villages. Vakefa Alpha Parsi, and the circumference around even the outer villages altogether is 1,000 Parsos. The Parsha that goes on to talk about Nimrod, the son of Cush, the son of Cham, and it says Vatihi Rachis Mamlachto Bavel the Erech Vakad Vichalna, and it goes on Barad Shinar. So Bavel Kimashma'a. Bavel is the city of Bavel. Erech Zu Urichus, Vakad Zeb Baskar, Vikalna Zed Nofar Ninfi. So these are the different locations that Cush, the son of Cham, took over. And the apostle goes on, Mina Aretzahi Yotza Ashur. So that Ashur went from that land, so that they shouldn't be in the eights of the Dara Flaga. So Tan Rav Yosef, Ashur Zeh Silak. Ashur is a city that's called Silak, and the pasuk goes on. Vayiven es Ninveh ves Ruchovos Ir ves Kalach. Ninveh kimashmao. Ninveh is the city of Ninveh. Ruchovos Ir zu Prastimation. That's Prastimation. Kalach zu Prastiburisav. That's another location. Ves Resen ben Ninveh ben Kalach here Ira Gedola. Pasuk continues. So what are these locations? Resen ze Aktisvun. But the rest of the pasuk he Ira Gedola. What is that going on when it says here Ira Gedola? Eini Odea im Ninveh Ira Gedola im Resen Ira Gedola. The pasuk just spoke about both Ninveh and Resen, and then it says he Ira Gedola. Well, which one is it? Ninveh or is it Resen? That's considered to be the Ira Gedola. Now, why not Kelach? That's also mentioned in the pasuk. Why isn't that the Ira Gedola? So that can't be, because if it meant Kelach, then it shouldn't have written he Ira Gedola. It should have just written Ha'ir HaGedola, because Kelach was the last one mentioned. So it should have said Kelach Ha'ir HaGedola. So when we say he Ha'ir HaGedola, must be going back on something that was mentioned earlier. That's what Tosfos points out in the top Tosfos in Zibra Maskeleini. So the suffix is it Resen or is it Ninveh? Which is the Ira HaGedola? Oh, so Shuomer, that's why you have to look in the book of Yonah. And in the book of Yonah, the pasuk says, V'Ninveh Ha'isa Ir HaGedola Lelukim Mahalek Shloshes Yamim. Ninveh is described as an Ir HaGedola. So Ninveh is therefore the one that is identified as the Ir HaGedola. So once the Gemara darshins the names that are mentioned in the Torah, the Gemara brings other names that are mentioned in the Torah and darshins them as well. So the pasuk describes in Sefer Bamidbar when the Meraglim went to scout out the land. So it says that Vayal b'negav yavar chevron, and the pasuk continues Visham Achiman Sheshai v'Talma Yelidei Ha'anak. So Tana, Achiman is called Achiman because Miyuman Sheba Achim. He is the Gibor of all the brothers. He is the strongest of the brothers, and that's the name Achiman is from a lashon of Miyuman, of that which is of the one that is strongest. Miyuman means strong because the lashon of Yamin, that the right hand is always considered to be the stronger hand. Sheshai, why is he called Sheshai? Shemesim is Aretz Kishchisos. That he would make indents in the land when he would walk. He was so heavy that when he was a giant, that was so heavy that when he'd walk, he'd leave like these indentations in the ground as he would pounce on the soil. Talmai shemesim esaret tlamim tlamim, and Talmai is called Talmai because he leaves like rows of furrow that burrow through the ground like rows in a that are plowed through in a field, because I guess he dragged his feet through the field. Achiman bina anas, so Achiman bana anas, built anas. Sheshai bana alush, Sheshai built alush. Talmai bana talbush, built talbush. So Gemara says Yelidei anuk means, what does that phrase in the pasuk mean? They were so tall. They were giants. So they were so tall. It was as if their necks pierced right through the window of the rakia, the window of the sky through which the sun comes through. So that's how tall they appeared to normal sized people. So once we talk about all of these different places, and we mention the Malchus of Paras, which is what started this conversation, so the Gemara tells us a little bit more about the Malchus of Paras, right? How did we get to all of this? We got to all of this because we were discussing whether Reish Lakish had the right to be angry at the Babylonians, because it was their fault that there was no Ashras Hashchina and Bayesheni. So Rabbi Yochanan told, no, it wasn't their fault. It was because of who built Bayesheni, and that was built by Paras, who was offspring of Yefes. So we got into what the all these different nations that appear in these different places in Chumash, but now we're going back to Paras. So now we're going to talk a little bit more about Paras, who was this offspring of Yefes, who in fact built the Bayesheni, and therefore didn't, because of that, Rabbi Yochanan understood we didn't have Hashras Hashchina and Bayesheni. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar Rabbi, Asid Romi Shetipol Biad Paras. The Romans are going to fall to the Persians. Shenamar, because the pasuk in the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu about the revenge that Hashem is going to take against the nations of the world tells us Lachain Shimuatz as Hashem Asher Yaatz El Edom Umachshavosav Asher Chashav El Yoshrei Teman Im Lo Yischavum Tzirei Atzon Im Lo Yosem Aleim Noveim. So Edom, that's Rome. Rome comes from Edom. Tzirei Atzon is a remnant to the Parsiim. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi is prophesizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a shavua about the Romans, that the Parsiim are going to exile them from their land. So that's how we know that Asid Romi Shetipol Biad Paras, that Paras is going to exile Rome from their land. So Maskev L'Rab Barula May Mashmedai Tzirei Atzon Parasu. It's a great Joshua, except for it doesn't say Paras. It says Tzi'irei Atzon. What gives you the impression that phrase Tzi'irei Atzon is a reference to Paras? So the pasuk says in the dream that Daniel had, and the Malach Gavriel was interpreting for him, Ha'ayil Asheri Isa Bala Karnaim Malchei Madei Paras. So you see, Paras is called Ayil, which is a type of Tzon. So that's how we know that it's Tzi'irei Atzon. Ve'ema Yavan, but maybe he meant maybe it means Yavan, d'chsev, because after all, the concept of tzon applies to Yavan as well, because in the interpretation of the dream of Daniel, where Gavriel tells him about the goats that he saw in his dream, v'atzafir asiir melech Yavan. So you see that Yavan is also a tzon. It's from the goats are interpreted as Yavan. So the Gemara brings an answer to this kasha. Again, the pasuk had said that there is a certain nation that's going to drive out the Romans. And we assume that it's the Parsiim, because it refers to Tzi'irei Atzon. So there must be that the Parsiim are going to drive out the Romans. So the Gemara said, oh, how do I know Tzi'irei Atzon means the Parsiim? Because in Daniel, we refer to Parsiim as Tzi'irei Atzon. So ask the Gemara, yeah, but the Greeks are also called Tzi'irei Atzon. They're also referred to as Tzon. So maybe it means that the Greeks are going to drive out the Romans. How do you know that it's going to be the Parsiim that drive out the Romans? So the Gemara brings an answer. So Kisalik Rav Chaviva Bar Sumraki Amra Kameda Umi Rabbanan. He said this kasha in front of one of the Rabbanan. So Amra Lei, he said, Mandaliyah de Prushe Kroi Mosef Tiyufta the Rebbe. That someone who doesn't know how to explain Psukim properly would ask such a kasha. Because the diuk is not from the word tzon, it's from the word tzi'irei. My tzi'irei atzon, zutra da'achohi. Tzi'irei atzon means the youngest of the brothers. Titani Rav Yosef Tiras Zeparas. Remember at the beginning we went through all the children of Yefes, and we said that the last one is Paras. So that's the youngest of all the brothers, the youngest of all the children of Yefes. So it's not from the word tzon. Einachinami, there are multiple nations that are called tzon, but it's the tzi'irei atzon. So since he used Lashon Tzair, that's how I know that that we're referring to the Persians, and the Persians are ultimately going to be the ones that exile the Romans. So Amar Rabba Rechana, once we're talking about how these nations are going to fall, so we can talk a little bit more about the end of the Persian and Roman empires. So Amar Rabba Rechana, Amar Rabbi Yochum, Mishum Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Eloi, Asidu Romi, Shetipol Biad Paras, that the Romans are going to fall in the hands of the Persians. So Kavl Chomer, because it's a Kavl Chomer. Umam Mikdash Rishon, Shebno'u B'nei Shem, Virchivu Kastiim, if the first base of Mikdash, which the children of Shem built, and the Babylonians, the Kastiim, are the ones that destroyed it, Naflu Kastiim Biad Parsiim, and the Persians overpowered the Babylonians, because Baal Sheitzar was the Melech Kastiim, and he fell in the hands of Daryavesh, who was a Parsi. So Mikdash Sheni Shebnu Parsiim. So the second base of Mikdash was built with the Tzivoy of Koresh, who was Melech Paras, the Chrivu Romiim, and the Romans are the ones that destroyed it. Einudin Sheyiplu Romiim Biad Parsiim. So for sure the Romans should fall to the Parsiim. The Parsiim were the builders of the base of Mikdash. The Romans were the ones who destroyed it. So you would think that the builders of the base of Mikdash should certainly be able to overpower those who destroyed it. They should have that tzuchus to be able to overpower the ones that destroyed it. Meaning if the Kasdim who destroyed the first base of Mikdash fell in the hands of the Parsiim, then for sure the Romans who destroyed the second base of Mikdash should fall in the hands of the Parsiim who built the second base of Mikdash. So says Gemara, Amrav Asida Paras. Meaning this is not so clear because Asida Paras Shatipol Biad Romi. Rav says the opposite. No, the Persians are going to fall to the Romans. Not the Romans to the Persians. Just because the Romans destroyed it and the Persians built it, it's going to be the opposite. The Persians are going to fall to the Romans. Why is that? Why is that right? Where's the justice in that? Somele Rav Kana de Ravasi, Benoi Biat Sesori, could that be that the ones who built the base of Mikdash are going to fall in the hands of the ones who destroyed the base of Mikdash? Amlu in, Gzeres Melechi. You don't ask Kashas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that it runs the way he wants it to run, whichever way it goes. So it doesn't make sense to us. We don't understand. Why should it be that those who destroyed the base of Mikdash are going to be able to overpower those who built the base of Mikdash? But it's a Gzeres Melech. That's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam, his infinite wisdom, determined that it should be. Ikeda Amri, others say, no, there's an explanation. Amlu Inu Nami O Kasasri Beknishta. Well, you think the Parsiim are so great? They destroy Batei Mikdash all the time. You know how many shuls they destroyed? And a base Mikdash, a base of Knesset is a Mikdash Ma'at. So the Parsiim are also destroyers of Batei Mikdash. They're destroyers of Batei Mikdash Ma'at. And therefore they could fall to the hands of the Romans. Tanya Nami Achi, we see both of these explanations in a Braisa. Again, trying to explain why the Parsiim who built the base of Mikdash should fall to the Romans who destroyed the base of Mikdash. Two explanations, either Gzeres Melech or because the Parsiim are also destroyers of Mikdashe Ma'at. Asid the Parash Atipal Biad Romi, Chada Desashi Beknishta, Va'od Gzeres Melech Hushiyip Lubonin Biad Sosrin. Either because they are destroyers of Batek Nasios, or because it's a Gzeres Melech. Dam Rav Yudam Rav, Ein Ben David Ba, Atchetivshut Malchus Romi Arusha'a, Bechala Ulam Kulam. That Mashiach will only come when the evil Roman Empire has spread its wings over the entire world, has ruled over the entire world for a period of 9 months. Shenemar, because the Pasuk in Micha says in the Nevuah about the Melech HaMashiach, Lachein Yitneim Ad Eis Yoleda Yolada V'yesarech of Yeshuvun Al B'nei Yisrael, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to leave Klal Yisrael in the hands of a wicked government until it rules over the entire world for 9 months, and that's the amount of time. 9 months is a gestational period for a woman, and once it rules over the entire world, then the Malchus Paras is going to be conquered. Since it's ruling over the entire world, you see that the Malchus Paras is going to be under their jurisdiction also. So that's how I know that the Romans are going to conquer Paras, because they're going to conquer everything for 9 months before the Bias HaMashiach. They're going to rule the entire world. So included in the entire world is Paras as well. So is it fair that they conquer Paras? Maybe not, but that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that it should be. Okay, that's as far as the geography and the history part of today's daf, and I guess destiny, and like what will happen in today's daf. Now we get back to the Lishchas Parhadrin. So Tana Rabbanu, Kol Lashachos Shai B'Migdash, all the Lashachos that they had in the Migdash, Lo Hoylen Mezuzah. They didn't have a mezuzah on their doorways because no one lived there. Chutz Mi Lishchos Parhadrin, Shai B'Beis Dira, the Kohen Gadol. Except for Lishchos Parhadrin, because someone did live there. The Kohen Gadol lived there. So since there was a Beis Dira for the Kohen Gadol in the Lishchos Parhadrin, Memel Lishchos Parhadrin had a mezuzah. So Tosas raises the question, is that the only place where there was a Beis Dira in the Lishchos Parhadrin? Didn't we say the Kohen Asarif HaSapara also gets quarantined off to a Lishchos Beis HaEven? So shouldn't that be considered a Beis Dira as well? So Tosas says, yeah, but how often did that happen? Asarif HaSapara, how many Paradumas were there in history already? It happened once every many, many years when they found a Paraduma, so the Kohen Asarif HaSapara would go there. That's not called the Beis Dira, but a place where every year for a week the Kohen Gadol goes on and stays for a week, that's going to be considered a Beis Dira. So that's the only place that says the Braisa, the only Lishcha in the Beis HaMikdash actually had a mezuzah. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, v'alo kama l'shachos hayu b'mikdash, shayilen Beis Dira, v'lo hayilen mezuzah. But wait, it's not only the Lishcha's Beis Evin and Lishcha's Parhadrin, which, Lishcha's Beis Evin that Tosas dealt with, and Lishcha's Parhadrin that the Braisa is dealing with, there are shomrim that guard the Mikdash all the time. It's a mitzvah semen haTorah to be mamid shomrim in the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk says Moshe Aharon Ubanav shomrim mishmeres haMikdash. So the Kohanim would be shomer in Beis Avtinas, in Beis HaNitzotz, in Beis HaMokad, and the Levim were guarding in 21 different additional places. So that's all mentioned in Maseches Midos. So the Shmira is not really to protect. The Shmira is like the royal guard, like when you go to Buckingham Palace, where those people in the funny uniforms. So that's not really, they're not really protect. I don't think those people can protect anything. I think I don't know, but it's just the pomp and certainly it's to show a sense of kavod. So the Beis HaMikdash also, we had shomrim that were there not because the Beis HaMikdash needed protection, but it was a way of showing kavod to the Mikdash that we have all these shomrim that were set up there. But they stayed there. So how do you say that there's no Beis Dira? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'alo kam lishchos hayu b'mikdash shayilen Beis Dira, v'lo yilen mezuzah. And there was no mezuzah there. El lishchos parhadrin gzeira hisa. So you have to say that kvias mezuzah in the lishchos parhadrin was a gzeira midrabanan. It's not really a chiyuv mikra din. Why did they make a gzeira? Because they're worried that people are going to say if there's no mezuzah there, that it's like a jail, and that the kohen gadol is stuck in jail the whole week. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that the lishchos parhadrin is pater from mezuzah mikra din? Meaning, why would it be pater mikra din? So Amar Abba, kasav Rabbi Yehuda called bayis sheinu asu limosachama. Uli Mosak Shamim ain't no bias. Any house that's not made for living in during both summer and winter time is not considered a bias. So the Torah is only Mechayiv and Mezuzah, a bias. So this is not called a bias because it's not meant for constant living. It's only lived in for 1 week out of the year. Rav Meisha has a tshuva where the bungalows require a mezuzah. In a bungalow colony, it's a place. It's only meant for mezuzah. It's only meant for living in during the summertime. So he thinks that they are Chayiv and Mezuzah, but he thinks that that even though normally when you're socher bayis b'chutz laretz, you have 30 days till you put up the mezuzah, but we still recommend you put it up right away. So he thought when you're socher a bungalow, in a bungalow colony, you could wait the 30 days. You don't have to, we don't have that minug of putting it up right away. But he thought it is chayv mezuzah. Technically, some of these bungalows nowadays they're not bungalows. They're summer homes, and they're homes that people sometimes go for an escape during the winter also, and they have heat and air conditioning both, and they protect you from the elements in terms of structurally, they're usable in both summer and winter, and sometimes are used in summer and winter. So Eisei Abaye challenges Rabbah, is a place that's meant for only some of the days of the year, not called a bayis vaksiv, but doesn't the Navi tell us when describing the terrible punishments that are going to come to the Rishei Yisrael, it says v'ikesi beis hachoref al beis hakayitz, so it refers to both the winter home and the summer home as a bayis. Samalei, no, it doesn't. It doesn't call it a bias. It says Beis Choref u Beis Kayitz Ikri. Bayis Stama lo Ikri. It doesn't just call it a bias. It calls it a Beis Choref or a Beis Kayitz. That's the Shem Levi. You would never call it just a Stam bias. Seis Ve'abai. Abai challenges Rabba further that there's a halacha that Peros are only Chayiv and Meiser if they go into the house, if they have a Re'ias Pnei Abayis. So the Mishnah Maseches Meisros tells us that Sukkos HaChag B'Chag, Peros that were brought into your Sukkah on Chag HaSukkos. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Chayiv and Meiser Meiser, because the sukkah is already called the bayis. The chum potrim, the chum say that it's potter from Meiser because the sukkah is not called the bayis. The tani Allah, and the Meiser says about that Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv be'eruv, that Rabbi Yehuda adds not only that, a sukkah is like a bayis for an eruv chatzeros, meaning if a sukkah is opened up into a chatzer meshutefes that's jointly owned by all the residents, that's considered one of the batim in that chatzer and needs to join in the eruv to be able to carry in that chatzer, and ubi mezuzah, and the sukkah is also chayiv in mezuzah, ubi meiser, and it's also chayiv in meiser, meaning when fruit, when produce is brought into the sukkah, it's considered to be rias pnei abayis, and it becomes chayiv in meiser. So you see against Rabbah, because the sukkah is not designated for dira, it's only designated for dira for 1 week out of the entire year, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda considers it a bias. So the question that we're asking is, how can you say that Me'ikar Adin, the Lishkos Parhedrin, where the Kohen Gadol is quarantined, does not require a mezuzah because it's only a base dira for 1 week out of the year? You know what else is only a base dira for 1 week out of the year? A sukkah is a base dira for 1 week out of the year. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda considers a sukkah to be a bias with regard to the chiyuv of mezuzah. In the Gvura Sari, he says, why doesn't the Gemara bring why does the Gemara have to bring this brisa that explains that Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv also in Eruv and Mezuzah, just by saying from the Mishnah Maestros alone would have been enough. The fact that he's Mechayiv Sukkah in Maestros tells you that he considers it a bias. So why do I need to expand and say, oh, not only in Maestros, but also, I mean, for the sake of our Sukkah, it seems unnecessary to say that that the Sukkah is considered a bias with regard to Mezuzah and Eruv as well. And he says, you can't say that the Gemara wants to ask a stira Legabe what Rabbi himself said with regard to mezuzah, because you could just reject that. You could just respond to that he's only mechayiv mezuzah midrabana, meaning when he says that it's that a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah, it's not necessarily direct stira, because he said lishkos parashim is chayiv mezuzah also on a drabana level. So maybe a sukkah is chayiv mezuzah on a drabana level. So it's not really adding more by telling me that that the brisa says that there's that a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah. So for whatever reason, the Gemara quotes the whole brisa, which really emphasizes that for all three areas of halacha, a sukkah has a din of a bayis. So that's the Gemara's kasha. A sukkah has a din of a bayis. I, Rabbi Yehuda, you told me that any bayis that's not meant to be lived in constantly does not have a din of a bayis on a daraisa level. So Abaye brings a way to be metaritz's kasha, but then he rejects it. V'chi tema midrabanan. Maybe you're going to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah is potter min haTorah because it's not designated for year-round living. And the fact that it's chayiv in eruv in mezuzah and meiser, all three of those dinim are only a din midrabanan that people might confuse a sukkah for a regular home. So says Mar, well, bishlam eruv and mezuzah. I get that midrabanan, you're going to say that it has to be included in the eruv. Midrabanan, you're going to say that you put up a mezuzah because you don't lose anything by saying that, right? It doesn't cost you anything to be machmir and make a chumra midrabanan that it's considered a bias for those purposes. So you can lemer midrabanan ela meiser ma'ikel lememer, but by meiser ma'ikel lememer midrabanan, how can you say that that it's potter from Maaser min haTorah and it's only chayiv midrabanan? You have to be so careful when you make chumras midrabanan that it not be a chumra asi li dekula, and this would be asi li dekula because dilma asi la frushe min achiyuv al potter min haPotter al achiyuv. That if you're going to tell me that produce that has entered into a sukkah now becomes chayiv in Maestros, but really on a daraisa level it's potter from Maestros, you may have other produce that's actually chayiv in Maestros on a daraisa level, and you'll be mafresh from that which is chayiv on that which is potter, or from that which is potter on that which is chayiv, and then you're really going to be messed up, because if you're mafresh from other peros that are actually chayiv in Maestros min haTorah to cover these peros that are potter min haTorah and only chayiv midrabanan, the Maestros is not going to be chal, and the peros that you're mafresh do not become truma, and the kohen that receives them is going to violate an isser of achilas tevel. And min haPotter al achiyuv, if you're going to be mafresh from these peros that are potter min haTorah from Maestro on peros that are chayiv min haTorah, the mice is not going to be chal, the peros are not going to be mutter, and you're going to come to eat in Isser Tevel. So you have to say that the chiyuv of mice that's mentioned in the Mishnah is a chiyuv min haTorah, because a sukkah is a real dira min haTorah, and therefore we're back to our original question: how could on the one hand Rabbi Yehuda say that the only reason the Lishkos Parashim requires a mezuzah is it's only midrabanan, but on a daraisa level it's not a bayis since you only live there for 1 week out of the year? A sukkah you also only live for 1 week out of the year, and a sukkah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, is apparently a dira min haTorah. So Ella Amar Abayi, so Abayi says no. The machlokes chamim Rabbi Yehuda is not the way we explained it. Let's go back to the drawing board. B'shiva during those 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is in the lishcha, dekulo yalma lo pligi demachayva. Everyone agrees that it's chayiv in mezuzah min haTorah. And Rabbi Yehuda's lishitaso. Rabbi Yehuda said that a sukkah is a bayis and a sukkah needs a mezuzah min haTorah. Yeah, he's going to say lishchas parajin also needs a mezuzah min haTorah. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is about a mezuzah in that lishcha b'shar yimos hashana. Does it need a mezuzah to remain there the whole rest of the year when the kohen gadol is not there? Rabbanan savri gazrinan shar yimos hashana atu shiva. Rabbi the savar lo gazrinan. The rabbanan hold where goza the whole rest of the year atu those 7 days where it's chayiv in mezuzah, that people shouldn't come to get confused and think that it's pater even during those 7 days. And Rabbi the says, no, we're not goza the rest of the year, and therefore you don't have to worry that that people are going to come, if you don't put a mezuzah there the rest of the year, you don't have to worry that people are not going to put a mezuzah there during those 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is actually living there. The reason for the gezeira is that they shouldn't say that so you have to be choshish for that, and the reason for the gezeira is that they shouldn't say that the Kohen Gadol is chavish beis hasurim, and that's why they put a mezuzah the whole year there, in order that people should get used to the idea that it's a beis dira gemura, that it's a normal place, that it's a regular place to live. So a couple of things that came up over here. We had mentioned that the chitema midrabanan. We had mentioned the possibility that when the Braisa tells us that sukkah is a base dira for all three things, for mezuzah and for maestros and for eruv, maybe that's only a din midrabanan, that the chiv sukkah and mezuzah, even though it's not for yimos hachama and yimos hagshamim, is a gzeira atu adira gemura. So the Rishonim say, why would that help if Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv sukkah and mezuzah on a drabanan level, even if it's not yimos hachama, he should also be mechayiv the lishchas parhedrin midrabanan. So why does he say lishchas parhedrin gzeira haisa, which means that it doesn't have a mezuzah? It was only gzeira that they're going to say that the kohen gadol is chavish beis haasurim, but it's not fundamentally chayiv midrabanan. Meaning there are different levels of drabanan also. When he says lishchas parhedrin is a gzeira, because it's going to look bad. It's going to look like people are thinking that the kohen is stuck in jail. So that means that had you not been concerned for the kavod of the lishchas parhedrin, there would not have been a din midrabanan to be mechayiv b'mezuzah. So how did the Gemara think to say that we could solve all the problems by saying, oh yes, sukkah is also only midrabanan, the chiv of sukkah and mezuzah is also only midrabanan? There's no concern that people are going to think sukkah is a jail. So why would it still doesn't match? It's still not the same as the lishchas parhedrin. So Tosfos raises this question, Dibra Maskel v'chi, and Tosfos says that according to this ukimta, we're understanding the gzeira of Rabbi Yehuda b'lishchas parhedrin is not a gzeira of shema yomru, but rather the gzeira is atu adira gemura, meaning it would be a gzeira that would actually match the gzeira that we have by sukkah. Then Tos says, according to this ukimta v'chitem midrabanan, we only answer Rabbi Yehuda's machmir b'sukkah midrabanan, but it's still a kasha in the chachamim, because in lishchas parhedrin the chachamim mechayiv in sukkah in mezuzah, and in sukkah they pater from mezuzah. So how do we resolve? Meaning by saying v'chite midrabanan, so that suggests that if we don't reject that answer just by saying it's midrabanan, it's going to work. But that would really only work for Rabbi Yehuda, but it will still turn out to be a stira in the chachamim, because the chachamim hold that lishchas paradin is chayiv mezuzah, and they pater sukkah from mezuzah. Why would they pater sukkah from mezuzah if they hold that lishchas parhedrin is chayiv in mezuzah? So Tosfos suggests that according to the Chacham, lishchas parhedrin is chayiv in mezuzah midaraisa, even though it's not made for living year round, because when they live in it, they live in it in a kviyustika fashion. But a sukkah is kind of place you leave all the time. Mitztayer is pater min sukkah. It rains a little, pater from sukkah. The lishchas parhedrin, he's there. He's there for the whole week. He may not be there the whole year, but for that week, he's there. When it comes to the sukkah, even when you're there, you're not really there. You end up leaving a lot of times. Tosfos Yeshanim suggests that the Gemara just didn't think to ask that right now, and by the maskana of the Gemara, that kasha is not going to be a kasha anyway, so it's not relevant to raise that question. We don't have to go through every logical possibility within every half hava amina of what would be a teret. You know, as long as by the end of the Gemara, all's well that ends well, and you know, there's not going to be any stiras left in the chachamim, so that's going to be good enough. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says to Abaye, how could you say that l'kala deos the adira is chayiv min haTorah b'mezuzah as while you're living there, even though it's not meant for year round living, v'asukas hachag bichag katani. But the Mishnah Maestro says that sukas hachag bichag, even while you're living there, is pata from mezuzah. So meaning, what was Abaye's whole tarot? It said everyone agrees that the lishkas parajin throughout the 7 days where he's there is chayiv in mezuzah. The whole machlokas is the rest of the year. The parallel would be sukkah. That sukkah, everyone should agree, is chayiv in mezuzah during sukkahs, and the rest of the year, if you're one of those people who leaves your sukkah up the rest of the year, so then it, you know, that would be a machlokas. But the Mishnah in Maisu said sukkah sachag bichag is pater. So how can you make such an akimta that everyone agrees that sukkah sachag bichag is going to be chayiv? Ella amar Rava. So Rava says no. B'shar yimos hashana kuli amal pligi de ptura. We got the machlokas from the whole rest of the year. Everyone agrees that lishcha is pater from mezuzah. Lishcha's paradigm is pater from mezuzah. Ki pligi b'shiva. The whole machlokas is only during that week that the kohen gadol is actually there. And similarly by sukkahs, the machlokas would be whether a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah. That according to the Chum, the lishka is chayiv in mezuzah, and a sukkah is pater. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be the opposite. That the lishka is pater, it's only, when we say pater, we mean it would only be chayiv because of the gezeira that people are going to disrespect it and think it's like a jail. And the sukkah is chayiv. The sukkah time luchud, the lishka time luchud. And each have their own inherent logic. So there's a machlokas by a sukkah that has its logic, and the machlokas by a lishka has its logic. And that's why the shitos could be flipped. Sukkah time luchud, the reason for the machlokas by sukkah is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah, l'tamei damar sukkah diras keva binan. Rabbi Yehuda's shita throughout Masech sukkah is that a sukkah is not supposed to be a diras arai. A sukkah is dafka supposed to be a diras keva. So, and therefore, mechayiv b'mezuzah. He's going to be mechayiv a sukkah in a mezuzah. V'rabban l'tamayu, and the rabban l'shitasim damri sukkah diras arai b'inan. That hold that a sukkah is a diras arai. V'lo mechayiv b'mezuzah. Therefore, it's not going to be mechayiv b'mezuzah. V'lishka taim l'chud, and the lishka has its own svara. Rabban l'savri dira bal korcha shma dira. The rabban hold that a place where you're forced to live is called a dira, and therefore, even though the kohen Gadol is there, Bal Karcho, because the Torah forces him to be there. It's still a Dira and it's Chayiv and Mezuzah min HaTorah. For Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Dira Bal Karcho, Lo Shmei Dira. That no, anywhere you're forced to live is not considered a real Dira. And therefore, Meikra Adin, the Lishcha is not a real Dira and it's Pat from Mezuzah. Why then do we say Midrabban and it's Chayiv? Midrabban and it's Kino, Le Shalom Yomuk, Chavin Gadol, Chav Shbe Sasurin. It's Dafka because of Dira Bal Karcho is Lo Shma Dira that we're Mechayiv and Mezuzah Midrabbanan. Because we don't want to draw attention to the fact that it's a Dira Bal Karcho. We don't want to make it look like a jail. So the Rabbanan hold that it's Chayiv and Mezuzah Meikra Adin because the Dira Bal Karcho is Shma Dira. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's Pater Meikra Adin because the Dira Bal Karcho is lo shma dira. Why then is it chayiv midrabanan? Because I don't want people to realize. We don't want people to realize that this is a dira bal karcha and that the kohen is against his will over here. The Rishonim raised the question: why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda pater sukkah from mezuzah for the same reason? Is sukkah not a dira bal karcha? You don't have a choice whether you live in a sukkah or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that we live in sukkah. So Rishonim raised this question. The Ritva and the Tosas Harash both suggest that only the lishcha is considered a dira bal karcha because the Kohen is there without his family. Whenever you could be somewhere with your family, that's not considered a Dira Bal Karcha. In Sukkah, a person is together with the rest of his family. Tos Yishanim suggests that it's Dafka by the Kohen, it's considered a Dira Bal Karcha because he's not allowed to leave. He's got to stay there the entire time. By Sukkah, it's we treat it Teshum Kein Toduru. You treat the Sukkah the same exact way you would treat your house. So you are allowed to leave the Sukkah. Other Acham Shasema suggests that you can make a Sukkah wherever you want to make a Sukkah. So that's not called the Dira Bal Karcha. Dira Bal Karcho is someone else tells you where you need to be. Whereas a sukkah, you can build a sukkah wherever you want the sukkah to be. You can even buy a pop-up sukkah and just plop it down wherever you want. So that's not called a Dira Bal Karcha. It's interesting, the Chida in Birkei Yosef quotes in the name of the Beis Hillel, where the Akron, the Beis Hillel, that a jail is Pater from Mezuzah because it's not Derech Kavod. And he proves the riot from our Gemara because the Lishchas HaKohen should be without a Mezuzah. So Rabbi Yehuda's Choshesh Kiddush, they're going to compare it to a jail. And that's why he puts up a mezuzah on Lishkas Paradrin. But what do you mean compare it to a jail? So you see that a jail is also potter from mezuzah. Meaning, obviously, if that's the whole concern, then the jail obviously is potter from mezuzah. But he himself, the Chida himself, disagrees and he thinks the raya is not a raya. He says, Dafka, according to Rabbi Yudel Shitaso, that a dira bal karcha is lo shma dira. So a base asurim, which is dira bal karcha, is not considered a dira and is not chayv mezuzah. But the chamol, the dira bal karcha, is a dira. So a base asawar, a jail, is also considered a dira and is chayv mezuzah. And you can't pater because it's not derech kavod, because that's only shayach in a dirty place, in makam samutunafim, that the Gemara is going to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow we have one of the major mezuzah sugyas in Shas. So like a beis hakiseh, beis haborsiki, that's a makam tunaf. But a beis hasawar is not considered a makam tunaf, and therefore would in fact be chayiv mezuzah. There is a significant discussion in Achronim. What if you have a room where Rabbi Tendler has in his house, where he has a room in the dining room or a living room, they built it for a Moshe, where the whole ceiling comes off, and then they put schach on it. So it's a dira year round. So if it's potter from mezuzah on Sukkis, is it tasav lo min asui on the mezuzah when you put the roof back on? So it's potter from mezuzah for that week. Now you're going to put a roof back on, now it's going to be tasav lo min asui. So it's two issues. First of all, is that really true that it's potter from mezuzah? If that room is lived in the whole year, is it really potter from mezuzah on Sukkis? And second, is it really tasav lo min asui? When you initially affixed the mezuzah, you did it ba'asiyah on a makam chiyuv. So that's what we assume, that he does not have to take down the mezuzah each and every year. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.